This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, now part of the Believe Network. And joining me is my co-host, Stephen Kirk, 65 plus years in sports journalism between the two of us. And later in the show, which Astro deserves a little more love? But first, Stephen, I got this idea that since we're going through this really fun era in Houston sports, I was thinking we should rank the top 10 Houston pro athletes right now, 1 to 10. What do you think?
Yeah, boy, you talk about a challenge, Robert, because you said pro athletes, not top 10 Houston athletes. So obviously we only, Houston only has three pro teams unless you count the Dash and the Dynamo in there. Yeah, we're going to have to, I'm going to be interested to see how this turns out because getting down to 10.
Yeah, and this is right now.
This is current. This isn't JJ Watt. This isn't, those guys. We're talking about right now.
Yeah, Dynamo, Dash. There's nobody that jumps out that everybody's right. talking about. So my apologies for the Dynamo and Dash for the moment. And,
nothing
I really
personal.
Nothing personal on soccer. But if somebody is good, it comes along. We'll talk about that person. But I really want you listeners and viewers involved in this, too. So throw out your top 10 or even top five in the comments. Yeah. I mean, Stephen, I'm anxious to hear what they have to say, too, because my list might be totally different than somebody else's list.
Well, that we're going to get some people saying, you're crazy to put so-and-so at number three. He should be number 10 and vice versa. So that, and that's what makes sports fun, right, Robert? It's not right or wrong. But everybody has a different list, and that's what creates debate, healthy debate, of course. But it just gets the juices flowing. And right now we're kind of in that in-between stage where, the Astros, they're not having a particularly good season, although they're in, tied for second now in the division. And the Texans are about to start training camp, but not quite yet. So it's kind of neat to come up with this kind of stuff right now.
And I was thinking, how are we going to do this? How should we do this? And my idea was just, okay, I'm going to start with each of our top two, and we'll go two at a time, and I'll give you a why. And frankly, the number one pro athlete by a long shot, come on, it's honestly Simone Biles. But even though Olympians are pros and she's the GOAT, Stephen, I decided to put her aside since I'm sure everybody's wondering about the team sports anyway.
Well, now that was my question when we were doing this, Robert. I said, well, do we include Simone Biles? Because, there's some professional there, so that was the key because I had somebody else at number one just for that very reason.
And just to be clear, I chose my order with a lot more weight on what the player is currently and not as much a career award.
Right.
I just gave him the assignment yesterday, so he hadn't had time to really put something together. So he's going to react and tell me how stupid I am.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And I have a few thoughts on some of these, too.
Yeah, number one on my list came down to basically two choices, C.J. Stroud and Yordan Alvarez.
Right.
And Stroud, because we know the value of a quarterback in the NFL, and he looks like a top 5 to 10 after his rookie year. But, Stephen, Yordan was my number one. He's got a top 3 MVP finish already, a championship already, and he's got a way more proven track record. Did you agree on that?
Yeah, C.J. Stroud has to be the guy if you're going with the here and now. And, even if you're talking upside, yes, Yordan still has upside. I mean, again, the guy's still young. He's
You heard me right. I said Yordan, not Stroud. You said Stroud is definitely the guy?
No, I think Stroud is, if you're talking about number one, I got to put Stroud in that spot.
Yeah, and I had Yordan. Yeah. We disagree.
Yeah, we do disagree. If you're talking about right now and you're talking about the impact, yes, Yordan does have impact on the Astros. There's no question. But we all know, the quarterback in the NFL, when the Texans didn't have that guy, they couldn't get anything going. And now C.J. Stroud in one season one season, they make the playoffs. So yeah, CJ is my guy at number one. Yordan is my guy at number two. And I know he's, you know, he hadn't had a great season to this point, but he's still Yordan Alvarez. And you got to put him up there. The season's not over yet. So I would put him as my number two.
Again, I put Yordan as my number one because he's got the pelts on the wall already. He's got the track record. He's got the championship. He's got the top three MVP finish.
But that's not now, Robert. That's in the past. Now, you said right now. So that's where I'm going with it.
What's he got, like a 1,200 OPS and we're in the middle of June right now?
Something like that.
Yeah,
he's heating up. He's definitely heating up.
So he's back to, he's getting there. He's going to, the numbers he'll are going to look like
he'll,
the old him.
He'll be there. Trust me, he'll be there.
All right, next up, number three and four on my list. And I have Kyle Tucker and Jose Altuve. And here's the deal. Tucker barely edges out Altuve because Tucker's absolutely the better regular season player at this point in his career. But we know Altuve's got that playoff clutch gene.
Yeah.
What do you think, Stephen? Did you have those two next?
That's a hard choice, Robert. I kind of flop back and forth. But you know what? I'm just going to go with Jose at number three and Kyle at number four. And I don't know if you could ask me a reason, and I don't know if I can give you one. Yes, Kyle's having, if you're talking about overall season, he's certainly got, you know, way more home runs. He's having a better season. But, you know, Altuve is still Altuve. He's not usually the reason unless it's his base running or something like that. He hasn't done particularly well in scoring position, but I'm going to go with Jose 3 and Kyle 4, but only by an eyelash. I mean, I could flip-flop next week probably.
Yeah, so we've got the same four guys. It's just that the order's a little bit different.
We flip-flop the order, exactly.
All right, 5 and 6, and this is where it starts getting difficult, at least in my thinking, and there are no more obvious Astros since Verlander and Framber have dropped off so much. And I figure it's time I look at the Texans or Rockets. So I go with, and I know he's had a rough start to the season, but Josh Hader, that guy has got 5 All-Stars. He's an elite closer. His playoff stats are pretty sick too. And I'll take him at 5. And then I'm going with the guy that probably a lot of you guys aren't even thinking about right now, Danielle Hunter at 6. You could easily overlook Hunter, Stephen, but the guy's got 4 Pro Bowls in his last 6 seasons.
Oh, my. Wow. So you don't even have Shingun in your top 5?
No, because Shingun hasn't been an All-Star once, and Danielle Hunter's been a Pro Bowler 4 times.
But not with the Texans. Okay, yeah. He's definitely, I mean, he could definitely be that guy for the Texans. If you're talking about what he could potentially do, absolutely.
He's on the team.
He could be. He's on the team. he's a Houston pro athlete.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting pick, I have to say. It's not a stupid pick. It's an interesting pick. I gotta say Shingun's gotta be my number 5.
All right. Well, let's see where Shingun lands because he's coming up.
He's coming up.
Yeah. 7 and 8 they're kind of a virtual tie in my mind. Nico Collins convinced me he's an elite receiver. Shingun, borderline all-star. I'm gonna put Shingun at 7. He's gonna edge out Nico just a hair right now because I think the impact in the NBA on winning. And Shingun is just more than maybe Nico can do. He's dependent more on the quarterback. We saw that with Davis Mills. But this is close, Stephen. And, hey, maybe these are controversial because these guys, they kind of don't have the skins on the wall yet. No real accolades big time.
Well, yeah, because obviously if they did, you would almost have to rank them ahead, just like we did with some of the earlier picks. I would have to agree with that, Robert. Yeah, I would say Shingun and Collins, you know, pretty neck and neck, and especially with the seasons they had. But they both had last year. You know, Shingun had the unfortunate injury toward the end. You know, Collins pretty much was, you know, solid all the way through. But yeah, I'd have to agree with that order.
Number 9 and 10. It's getting watered down, but we still got some guys left. And I'm going to put Laremy Tunsil at 9. And you can argue that Tunsil should have been ahead of Nico on the Texans with his 4 Pro Bowls. But his injuries and those false starts that just drive me crazy. They sort of dropped him a little.
How many drives did that kill? Do they kill when he does that?
I'm sorry, Laremy, but I've got Nico ahead of you. And then with 10, okay, so names left on the board. Should I consider Fred VanVleet, Alex Bregman, Brian Abreu, perhaps? But I decided to go with a 4-time Pro Bowl wide receiver who's been one of the elite guys in the league, and I'm going to take Stephon Diggs, even though I'm very concerned about the drop-off last season, but it's at the point where if anybody wants to flip Diggs and Tunsil, I'd understand because, you know, I'm not thrilled with these last couple of names on my list here, Stephen.
Yeah, it is getting harder. Laremy, I'm not sure. I would put Laremy at number 10 for mine. 9, you were talking about Bregman. I mean, I'd love to put Bregman there, but, you know, I'm not sold on Bregman. I've talked too much about him on this podcast in the negative to rank him in my top 10. Who were some of the others that you were playing around with that you were trying to flip-flop between 9 and 10?
Oh, just names that might have snuck in there. I mentioned Fred Van Vliet.
Fred Van Vliet was the guy that I was thinking about that I might put as number 9. And I'll tell you, because Fred was the guy the Rockets really needed, not just from his playmaking standpoint, but his veteran leadership. I mean, I just think he was as big of a key to the Rockets' success in the intangible ways as some of the other guys like Dylan Brooks and, you know, some of these other younger guys coming into their own were for the Rockets on the court. So, you know what? I'm going to go with Van Vliet 9, and I'm going to put Tunsil at 10 because, look, we can't underestimate how important the left tackle is for the quarterback. You know, without that, C.J. Stroud probably, you know, I know Laramie was hurt, you know, part of the time, and, you know, C.J. still thrived regardless. But being a left tackle and being a Pro Bowler that he has been, I'm still going to put him in the top 10, but I'm going to go with Van Vliet ahead of Tunsil for 9 and 10.
So basically what Steven is saying, because I know he wasn't thrilled with Danielle Hunter or Stephon Diggs, that he doesn't like what Caserio did this offseason, basically, is because these guys are good.
I want to see them do it as Texans. No, I'm if you're talking about upside, I'm fine with that, Robert. But I want to see them perform that as Houston Texans this year. And, of course, the season hasn't started yet, so they can't do it right now. But I'm going on what Houston players have done, either right now or I think you kind of have to include the offseason if you're going to include some Rockets in there. So that's where I'm basing mine from. But this is great. I definitely want to hear from the viewers now after we've done this.
Oh, this is good stuff. Tell your friends to
come on, y'all.
Comment because we want to hear from everybody. And, you know, I know nobody wants to listen to us when we're not talking about who the Rockets might want to pick at number 3 or the 4,000 prospects that they...
Well, we know they're going to trade the pick, so why do we even need to keep discussing it, right?
Yeah. I know you guys out there, we got a lot of Rockets fans that love the show, but yeah, and the Rockets fans need to tell me, like, Shangoon too low on my list. Steven liked him a little bit more, not much, but a little bit more.
Tell Robert he's crazy for putting Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, and your Houston pro sports athletes right now? Come on, y'all. Now, this is fun. This is great, Robert.
Yeah, they're going to be wearing those new Texans uniforms in about a month and a half, right?
Can't wait. No, I'm serious. In all seriousness, I'm really pumped for football season to start and see how these guys do.
All right. So the question is, what do you think about our list? What's your list? Get in the comments. And if you missed my conversation with Houston Sports Radio's 35-year veteran, David Dilotti, last week, you got to go back and check it out. He told us some classic stories about Nolan, Akeem, Barkley, Lima, even going back to the Oilers with Bud Adams. I mean, just an incredible career for Dilotti. And oh my goodness.
Yeah. I got to say something about that because I listened to that interview and look, Robert, I'm a native Houstonian. I mean, I've lived in Austin for about as long as David was in the sports radio sportscasting business, but I followed David Dilotti. David, if you're listening, big fan of your reporting, man, you were right on. I followed him through. I don't seem to remember him in the KIKK, the Kick AM and FM days, but I do remember him at 790, 610, and KTRH. Let me tell you, this guy was something else. And the stories that he tells on this interview, you guys had me glued from beginning to end. So you've got to go back and listen to that. If you want to get an idea of Houston sports history, go back and listen to that interview because you'll get more in that, 35, 40 minutes, Robert? You'll get more in that than you will in a whole bunch of other things combined. That was a great interview.
Yeah, don't say something like history.
I know, that's like a bad word. Tradition. How about Houston sports tradition? You'll get a lot of tradition.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
In that.
Let's switch over to the Astros, Stephen, and not sure what's left to say about the end of the Jose Abreu nightmare that hasn't been said already, but sure would have been nice for Jim Crane not to push his GM in front of the public at the end of the debacle instead of actually being accountable, big guy.
Well, you know what, Robert? I have thoughts on this. And yeah, I know we've beaten this into the ground. And listen, we've criticized Jose Abreu. We've criticized Jim Crane. We've criticized Jeff Bagwell and whomever else was in on this, to what, Reggie Jackson, probably. Let me just say this. If a guy is on your team, if this is the team you're cheering for, you want everybody on that team to succeed. We in no way were hoping that Jose Abreu would fail. And I'll tell you, the thing, my first reaction when I heard he was released was sadness. And here's why. Here's a guy, you know, this guy was not a baseball bust. He may have been an Astros bust, but he was not a bust. He was a former AL MVP, a multiple All-Star team representative. This guy once had it. My biggest problem with this whole thing, Robert, if you want to blame somebody, yeah, you should blame Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, whoever else told him to sign the check. Because if you look at his numbers, we've gone over them, over the past few years, it's obvious they were declining. Now, I did not expect this big of a drop-off this quickly. But why would you want to give a contract to a guy like that when it's obvious his numbers were going down, 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 and not up, up, up? But in all honesty, I was just sad, because this is a guy who obviously has declined rapidly to the point where he's nothing like the former AL MVP he used to be. And he tried his best. You know, he did his absolute best to turn things around, and it just didn't work. Now, he's still going to collect a lot of money, so you can't feel too sorry for him. But if you're talking about from the baseball aspect, look, I'd never want to see a guy like that drop completely off of the face of the earth the way Jose Abreu did.
He has made a total. This is not just the Astros, but it feels like it's just the Astros. He's made a total of $154 million in his career.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah. He's not hurting financially. That's why I say I don't feel sorry for him financially. But if he really still enjoys the game of baseball and wants to continue, you know, what will be interesting to see is, will anybody pick him up maybe toward the end of this season or even next season? What if he has a good season? Then what are we going to say? But you can only go with what you have. And, you know, the Astros gave him probably more rope than we wanted them to, Robert. So they certainly gave him all the time in the world to turn things around, and he just didn't.
The best that can happen to him probably is he gets a minor league contract the way Yuli has. But, you know, it hasn't been any sort of comeback for Yuli either.
No, not at all. And, of course, you know, you can talk about John Singleton, and, you know, he tore up the minor leagues. And since he's been back with the Astros, you know, he's put a little bit of a season together this year, but it's still kind of touch and go with him. So yeah, it's very difficult to come back from something like that and work your way back up, because you're competing against a lot of younger guys, and they don't want you in the minor leagues if you're 37, 38 years old when you've got 20, 21, 22, 23-year-olds coming up.
The fall guy for the Astros this year, in many ways, has been Dana Brown. And this weekend, I decided, well, let me tweet a little report card on Dana Brown.
Yeah, because I saw that. Yeah.
Very, very quietly, he's made a lot of nice moves, Stephen. And you can add anything I've forgotten from the list I'm about to read off, but here it goes. Number one, he nailed the signings of Caratini and Taylor Scott.
Yep.
Number two, he was the guy that made Ronel Blanco a starter when he took over as GM.
Yep.
Number three, he let Maldi walk, and then he didn't overpay for Neris, Maton, or Blake Snell. Look up those stats if you don't know why those were good moves. The next on the list is he trusted Jake Myers, who's struggling, but who's been more than solid overall when you look at the numbers. Next up, he made the low-key Trey Cabbage trade, who's been very solid off the bench, actually. Mm-hmm. I like Trey Cabbage, actually. Done a nice job. Number six, and this is the most important thing of all, Steven, last year's draft picks, Bryce Matthews, Jake Bloss, Austin Deming, I'm going to screw this name up. It's Pascano Ferreras. I apologize to him.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then add in Ethan Petko. Those names you might not be super familiar. Everyone knows Bryce Matthews because he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
But those guys look very strong. And so does free agent international signing Hector Salas. So they're back to the old Astros tradition of the international signing guys. Several of these guys are already in Double-A. Did I miss anything from the Dana Brown list?
No, you did not. And I think the biggest thing is Dana Brown had absolutely nothing to do with the Jose Abreu signing. He wasn't even there. So that's pretty big. I mean, if you're going to take pot shots at Dana Brown for this, that, and the other, you certainly can't blame him for that. But, you know, you look at the numbers of all of those players you just mentioned, Robert, and they're solid. If, you know, some of them better than others, yes. But especially with the draft last year, my gosh, every one of these guys, I mean, we could use a Jake Bloss on the roster right now. We could use a Bryce Matthews on the roster right now. And, you know, something that was kind of under the radar that happened just the other day is they released J.C. Correa, whom I thought was, you know, he wasn't tearing up the minor leagues, but what was he at? I think like a 284 batting average in the Astros system. He's not even with the system anymore. You know, this gives you an idea of how many some of these guys are that are coming up. And all the baseball publications talk about how low the Astros farm system is. And they're ranked, you know, this low in this list and this low in that list. Well, tell me why these guys are doing so well and could very well potentially be with the big club, either if not this year, next year, the year after. So yeah, Dana Brown, he's been here a couple of years, not even 2 years, and he's already done all of these things. You got to give the guy benefit of the doubt with some of this.
Any major mistakes you think, Stephen, with Dana? I mean, Espada is the one thing that I think some people might point to.
Yeah, you could say that. And I guess you could say, you know, because we've gone back to this, maybe they should have not signed Josh Hader and just concentrated some of that money on, you know, some other things that maybe shoring up other aspects of the bullpen, you know, some depth at first base. But really, I think you've got to let this season play out before you sit there and decide, well, maybe that was such a bad move. Because Josh Hader is starting to even things out. And if he really is the best reliever in the game, the Astros are going to benefit from that and some of these other guys coming around. So if you're talking about a major mistake, like a Jose Abreu type mistake, no, absolutely not. Dana Brown has not made that mistake just yet.
I agree. I just don't see anything. I was not thrilled with the Corey Lee for Kendall Graveman because I didn't think Graveman was having the kind of year that really made me want to give up. And I didn't think Corey Lee was all that big of a prospect.
Yeah, if Corey Lee had been a major prospect and was tearing up the majors right now, that would probably be his biggest mistake, but he's not. And yeah, it's a shame. Kendall Graveman's not, he's not even pitching this year because he's injured. But yeah, that would be another mistake you could point to, sure.
Now, the other big news, just as we hit the air, Steven, Justin Verlander goes on the 15-day DL. Neck discomfort. It seems like with the Astros, it's neck discomfort turns into, oh, well, he's going to be out for a few weeks too. We got to get a second opinion till his shoulder and his arm fell off of his body and we're not going to see him pitch again for another 10 years. So hopefully it's not the case with Verlander, but this team just cannot catch a break with the starting pitching.
No, this is just one of those years. I think we talked about that on the last podcast, Robert. It just is every day you just hold your breath. But wasn't, you know, Christian Javier, didn't he go initially on the IL because of neck discomfort? And the next thing you know, he's got forearm issues. And now he's had Tommy John surgery, just as some of the other guys have had. So, yeah, Jose, now his name just escaped me. Urquidy. Jose Urquidy. Yeah, totally lost a blank.
Well, he never pitches, so why would you remember
that? I've forgotten about him. Yeah, he's almost a forgettable guy. But, yeah, Justin Verlander, I mean, he's definitely one that I guess, you know, you shouldn't be too surprised. Considering his age, you know he's going to be more injury prone. I didn't expect Justin Verlander to even pitch 140 innings this year. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I don't think he's on pace to do that just yet.
Well, he's got that option in his contract. And really, I'm not sure if it's good or bad that he's not going to reach the option. Cause I think it just automatically kicks in if he reaches the number,
yeah.
But then you owe him a lot of money, but some of that money's eaten up by the Mets. So it's like, I don't know if that's good or it's a question mark for me, Steven, whether it's good or bad that he might miss some innings and it might be more of a, you know, the Astros decide to re-sign him or not. Maybe they got to, it's obviously he's not the same guy. The money would have to come down a little bit.
Oh, it'd come down a lot. I mean, I would not sign him for next year unless he was really willing to do a very, very big hometown discount. And maybe for 1 year, you know, and you'd have to see what shape the pitching is in by then. But you just have to hope that this is all it is, and then he'll come back because Lord knows the Astros can't afford to have any more put, you know, on the long-term IL, like Tommy John surgery or being out for the season. You know, we keep hearing Luis Garcia starting to throw and Lance maybe starting to throw a little bit, but you don't know what those guys are going to do. We still don't have a timeline for them. So any more pitchers that go on the IL, it's just bad news for the Astros.
Anything else you're pondering with the Astros before we go on?
Well, you know, you keep looking at their record and they're still 5-6 games under 500, but they're still, you know, they're almost like neck and neck with the Rangers now in the AL West. So it just, you keep wanting to say that the Astros season's over, Robert, but it just isn't. We just keep waiting and we keep hoping. So that's all we can do really is just hope they catch fire and catch somebody else.
I am not holding my breath on the
Astros. I'm not either, but that's about the only hope we have right now as far as the Astros are concerned.
Got some other stuff going on. I was trying to figure out, do we have an NBA championship angle? Because the Celtics just finished off the Mavericks and two former Rockets won an NBA championship, actually. Steven, we got to congratulate Celtics assistant Sam Cassell, who won his first championship with the Rockets 30 years ago this week. Mm. He's now won 3 rings as a player and 1 as a coach. So 4 rings for Sam IM. And then Jeff Van Gundy picked up a championship ring, his first. Remember, he worked as a Celtics special assistant this year. And if anybody missed the story, he's going to the Clippers as a assistant, like a bench assistant next year.
Right. I did hear that. But, you know, since he was with the Celtics, he's going to get his ring. Man, 2 deserving guys. You know, it was a shame that Jeff Van Gundy couldn't win a ring with the Rockets because I always thought he did a great job coaching the Rockets. But Sam Cassell, man, how about that for great timing? 30 years ago, they won the first championship. He was a big part of that. And so this week, he wins another one as a coach. Man, that's just really exciting. I mean, I know we're in Texas and you kind of want the Texas teams to win, but, you know, and I'm sure there are plenty of Celtics haters out there just from the Rockets point of view. But if you're talking about individuals, you know, guys like Sam Cassell or former Rockets, yeah, you got to be happy for guys like him.
Yeah, this championship was no win for me once it became the Celtics and the Mavericks because not a Mavericks guy, as anybody in Houston probably is not a Mavericks guy. I'm not a Mavericks guy. And the Celtics, I mean, oh my God, the Boston fans are my least favorite fans in sports pretty much. So yeah, there was no win.
Championships, man. That's a lot. And you know, I actually have a story, Robert. I went to a Celtics game. I think I was 20, 21 years old and it was in San Antonio. It was when the Spurs were back in the Hemisphere Arena. So I went to church with these guys who were Celtics fans. Okay. Now I'm not a Spurs fan. Okay. I'm a Rockets fan, obviously. So here I am going to a game against 2 teams that I can't stand, the Celtics and the Spurs. And of course I'm sitting among a whole bunch of these guys who are obviously Celtic fans. So I just decided to keep quiet because I didn't like either team. I sure wasn't going to cheer for the Celtics and I sure wasn't going to cheer for the Spurs.
Yeah. It's a lot of bad choices. I always like when there's a finals where like somebody I can root for, it's like, they're kind of an underdog or it's a fan base that hasn't won or something like that. And with all the different permutations and who could have made the championship, it was kind of worst case with these 2 teams, just about worst case. I mean, not that I would have been thrilled with, you know, some of the other teams in the East. I'm not a big Heat person for sure. So,
well, yeah. If I were going to pick, I would rather have been the Mavericks in the finals than the Spurs. Cause I had some dealings with the Spurs when I was in the media and let's just say it wasn't a pleasant experience. So yeah, maybe there's some bias there. I don't know, but I'll take the Mavericks in the finals over the Spurs any day.
Yeah, I love to watch Luka play basketball. My biggest issue with Luka is just the whining and complaining stuff is the problem.
Yeah, he does do a lot of that, you know, when calling fouls. And of course, you know, the Rockets have a guy like that too, Dylan Brooks. But, you know, if they're on your side, you don't mind. But when it's somebody else you're watching, you're like, really? Can you just shut up and play?
No, I get annoyed with Dylan Brooks.
Well, I do too. But yeah.
I want to end it with some really good news for the Houston Cougar basketball program. Terrence Arsenault says he's going to be playing by the end of the month. And JoJo Tugler says, Steven, he's going to be practicing by July. It's good to see that those guys not just are ready for the season, but they can, you know, participate in the summer stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they are definitely going to need both of those guys back, you know, especially when you talk about losing guys like Shedd and some of the others. If they can just come back strong, and if they're coming back in the summer, that gives them several months to hopefully get fully healed so that by the time camp starts, what, in October usually, then they should be ready to go by the season start. So, yeah, that is great, exciting news for the Cougars. And they'll be starting their second basketball season in the Big 12. So, yeah, definitely glad to have those guys coming back next year.
It's going to be a deep team, too. This team's going to be deep, deep, deep. They're going to miss Jamal Shedd, of course, but this team's going to have some real depth that we haven't seen. And they need that depth because that's been an issue with the injuries and stuff like that.
Kelvin Sampson just seems to know how to go into the pool and, you know, bring up some more guys to replace them. I mean, that's why the team has been so successful the last few years, no matter what conference they're in. Kelvin Sampson, he just knows how to get the right guys in the right place at the right time. So let's hope that happens again next year.
One last little thing, just a little disappointed with something that happened in the last week. Jason Braddock, a friend of the show and a friend just period. I've known Jason for several years now since I started covering the Texans, since I was going out there back to 2013.
Yeah, I remember him.
And he's a really good guy. First, I can just tell you. And he came back and was doing some, we had lost him for a while. And then he came back and he was doing some Texans in the last couple of months. And he decided he's done with, you know, staying in the game and the media game and covering the Texans and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to miss him in that space. And was somebody that I was thinking about even having on the show in the next couple of months. But, you know, he's got more important stuff to handle. And it's a tough game to be in. It's a tough game.
You and I both know that, Robert. And I remember Jason, you know, he was at what, Sports Talk 790, if I remember right.
Right. Sports Talk 790 and 97.5.
And 97.5, right. Yeah, it is tough. And I don't want to give away the David Delaney interview, but, you know, David talks about that very same thing and, you know, what he's doing now as opposed to being in sports. Yeah, the media is, a lot of people think it's cool because you get to go to all these games, you talk to all these players, you get to be in the locker room. And yeah, there is this aspect to that, but it is a job, Robert. And you and I both know that as much as anyone. It is a job and it's a very difficult job. It is nothing like being a fan. And I don't know if you do this, but when I'm watching a game just as a fan, I am so much, I mean, I should say, I don't know if relaxed is the right word, but it's a different feeling than if I'm covering the game as a media member. I'm still on the edge of my seat, yes. I still live and die by some plays, but you know, the difference is when you're the member of the media, you can't cheer out loud if your team does something great and you can't get all hacked off if they do something bad.
If you're in this business, it's a lot of hustle to keep in this business, and it's difficult to have some sort of personal life with a sports schedule and covering
teams. Yeah, just ask my wife.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, me and Steven are talking about some stuff that's going to limit a little bit what he can do with me in the next few months. So it hits all of us. And we wish Jason the best of luck. And we're definitely going to miss him. But I definitely want to hear from you guys. Make one last plea before we go. I want to hear your top 10 Houston athletes. What do you think? And there's no wrong answers as far as I'm concerned.
No, Robert's wrong. Steven's right. That's what I want you all to say.
Jose Abreu, maybe wrong answer for best Houston pro athlete.
Maybe that is a wrong answer.
All right. Have a great one, everyone. We'll talk to you again soon, Steven.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.